Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tonight, the Giants are basically playing a playoff game. Let's call it like it is. They have to win this game against the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Eagles probably feel very similarly that they need to beat their division rival Giants. And joining us right now to talk about it, does a fantastic job covering the Giants, and that is PDOT Paul Dottino. Paul?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Guys, great to talk to you. This storm that's supposed to be coming in and out of the area all day could certainly have an impact on the game. And let me just say, it would more negatively impact the Eagles than the Giants. Philadelphia leads the NFL with 13 fumbles this year. They've had a lot of trouble holding on to the ball. Nine different players, including both of their quarterbacks, have fumbled it away this year, and Wentz has fumbled the ball away once in each of the three games that he has played since coming off of knee surgery. And so I think that is a stat that everybody should keep in mind as they watch this one tonight.
You know what's interesting? And I'm not saying you're wrong.
Can I say, by the way, before we even do that, that Paul Dottino was brought to you by United Healthcare and their Oxford products. By Remax, visit Remax.com to find your home and agent now. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you, and by Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all. There you go.
We had Phil Simms on earlier, and he thought bad weather would benefit the Eagles. So I don't know what bad weather benefits.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You could look at it a million different ways. I mean, it could slow down the Giants' ability to take some shots and pick on this bad Eagle secondary. So I don't know what it would do. The only thing I hope for, Paul, and I know you hope for it, is we can't have two-hour lightning
delays.
Yeah,
we can't have that.
No. That would be horrific. I've never heard of, and I'm sure it's happened, to my knowledge, it's never happened in a Giant game in my 36 years of covering the team, a tornado delay. And I know they're talking about the possibility of spot tornadoes in the metropolitan area
tornadoes?
At some point tonight.
Oh, my
God. Yeah.
Where do we live?
I got to go to Arizona. So.
Where are we? Then you'll have sandstorms.
Give me the sand.
Give me the sand.
Yeah, I got to get out. Paul, I got to get out of New Jersey. I can't get out fast enough, but that's okay. That's all right.
What would you do for dinner? Come on, Joe.
Believe me, bro. Order I'll find a way. I got my wife to cook. Don't worry.
Paul, what did you hear? You're around this team all the time. What was the inner reaction to that interview, that weird, bizarre, let me sit down next to little Wayne interview that Odell Beckham pulled? What was the reaction in that locker room from what you heard privately?
Well, there's no question that Coach Shurmur was upset, and he did not hold or pull any punches on that. He made it very clear he did not agree with the things that were said and how they were said, and made sure that everybody knew that. He, of course, had a private conversation with Beckham, and they've since squared things away. I do know they have such a mutual respect and an understanding with each other that's why I think Shurmur was caught off guard when Odell Beckham decided to do this interview on his own without telling anybody that he was going to do it. And here's the problem, guys. I still believe, and I will tell you this, almost all of the teammates that I talked to, and there's a few that I didn't gauge their temperature on it, but everyone that I talked to, said to me, hey, what's the problem? Inside this locker room, we know what Odell Beckham is. We appreciate the fact that he's trying to step up and be a leader, that he is trying to row the boat instead of being one of the followers, and that if he can do something to help spark this team and get everybody's energy up and help us turn the corner, that's a good thing. That's what leaders need to do. I remember Antrell Roll did this several years ago, and Roll caught tremendous criticism and heat in the media and obviously ruffled some feathers with Coach Tom Coughlin, but ultimately the players in the locker room appreciated it. I don't see this as being much different, except that, of course, it's OBJ, so everybody needs to have a field day over it. I will say this, all right, if the Giants play like they did last week, they've got a chance to win some more games than they lose, because we know there are a lot of crazy circumstances, bounces and things that were seen and unseen by the officials that had a tremendous impact on that game. And then, of course, Beckham had a misplayed punt, which gave the Panthers a touchdown. So, you know, there are a lot of things that went into that. But that type of game, if the Giants put that type of game on tape the rest of the way, they're going to win their share.
But let me just say this, because we had Antrell on, and Antrell was defending Odell. I see two big differences between Roll when he would come on with us or talk to the media about things. Number one, I never felt he took a direct shot at the quarterback. A guy's won two championships. And number two, I think the environment that Odell was in made it look worse. He's sitting there with a musician chuckling to everything he says. It doesn't look serious. It looks like a big joke.
Yeah, it looked like a Saturday Night Live sketch, didn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's the stinky part about it. See, the problem with Odell Beckham Jr., I think, is that while he's well-intended, and we've all talked about his competitive nature, his desire to win, he hates to lose, he will give you the shit off his back as a teammate to do anything to win a game. In spite of all of that, which is all good and all positive, when it comes to actually speaking and articulating himself, sometimes he gets too deep, he gets too philosophical, he gets too wordy, and he muddies himself up and he gets himself in trouble because, you know, he doesn't think things through in terms of how he is going to be perceived. And I think in my mind, the crime here was more his foolishness to say what he said, how he said it. I still believe that his intent was good, and I believe that the players – look, I just saw Eli the other day, 2 days after this happened. Giants going out for practice. Eli and Odell Beckham are out there on the practice field before the rest of the guys, and they're goofing around, and they're talking, and they're slapping each other on the shoulder, having the time of their lives. I don't see that if all of this negativism that has been perceived is real. Clearly, it's not real. Otherwise, those two guys wouldn't have been having a good time like they were.
Hmm. Injuries tonight. Olivier Vernon's playing, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. Okay. Olivier Vernon, who has, in each of the last 2 weeks, picked up his workload only to then pull it back on Friday and then wind up missing the last two games. This time, that was not the case. They did not pull him back. And in their release yesterday, the Giants, with their final updated injury report of the week, indicated that the plan is for Vernon to play. And fellas, let me make something very clear. James Betcher, who came here as a blitzkrieg defensive coordinator, blitzing over 45, I think it was 47% of the time when he was with the Cardinals, has only been blitzing about 34% of the time with the Giants. And the number one reason for that is his number one pass rusher, the guy who he wants to isolate in a one-on-one matchup, has not been in the lineup. It has dramatically eliminated chapters from his defensive scheme, which, of course, was the presumed strength of Betcher being added to this defense in the first place. So even though they've become a middle-of-the-pack defense, and they've done certainly respectable and competitive, they should be a whole lot better when Betcher starts opening up those other chapters for the first time tonight, thanks to Olivier Vernon.
Talking to Paul Dottino about the Giants, you'll hear the game tonight on the Fan. Giants-Eagles. Giants trying to get a big victory inside the division. Saquon Barkley, I think he's been really, really impressive his first five games, first 5 weeks as an NFL player. But last week, and this isn't his fault, he's getting hit behind the line of scrimmage constantly. So it's tough to establish a run when that's happening. Give me your thoughts on the run blocking and the ability to try to establish the run that, you know, we talked about this last week. We know the Giants need to do, but it was certainly tough getting it going last week.
Well, first off, Evan, the Giants lead the league in runs for negative yardage, okay? And that stat doesn't lie. There's no perception that is going to mislead you there. It has not been good. They are a zone-blocking scheme offensive line and a finesse and technique offensive line outside of Will Hernandez. Hernandez is the only straight-ahead, power, force, punch-in-the-mouth, run-blocking offensive lineman on that front. Okay? So that means it's all got to be technique oriented. The Giants need to make sure that they're gelling, they're all doing their combo blocks properly, they're making all the right reads. This is why the run game has suffered, because they don't have power blocking guys up front. So it's all got to be schematic, and it's all got to be done in conjunction with the running back, who is going to see the hole, trust that the hole's going to be there, and then make the move. I thought Sean O'Hara did a sensational job on NFL Network the other day. He had gone through one of the highlights whereby the Panthers were sending a blitz with two extra guys from the left side of their defense. The Giants, with their zone blocking scheme, executed the blocks that were meant to stop that run blitz. But what happened was Barkley, who had an opportunity actually to go against the blitz by cutting it to the left guard spot where there was a huge hole in the B gap, he didn't see it because he was too busy looking to his right, thinking that the run blitz was going to get through. And this is what happens. Your running back becomes tentative. He is not as assertive as he needs to be. He doesn't hit the hole he needs to hit because he doesn't trust the fact that the blocking is going to hold up. So what happened? Barkley hesitated. He thought he might have to cut back. And what did he do? He ran right into the run blitz. And that's what happens when your back and your line have not gelled and not formed a mutual trust with each other. This is going to take time, fellas. We knew that was going to happen. Unfortunately, the Giants don't have time for that development. It needs to happen last week and the week before. And there's just no other way to get it done other than go out there and make it happen.
I'll tell you one thing. Barkley's a tremendous receiver. I mean, he really is. And he reminds me a lot of Marshall Faulk. He's so good catching the ball out of the backfield. And he is a matchup nightmare for any linebacker out there. They can't
cover him. Without question. Joe, I want to take you back. I tweeted this a couple of weeks ago. You remember the first NFL running backs who became premier receivers
Tony
in the offensive attack? Lydell Mitchell and Chuck Foreman.
And Tony Galbraith, too, with
Galbraith
the Giants.
Later on.
Right, okay.
Because Lydell Mitchell led the league in receiving
with the Colts.
In 74.
Right, Burt Jones was the quarterback.
Galbraith did it in 72. That's right. Burt Jones and, of course, Tarkenton had Chuck Foreman.
Right, right.
And both of those guys led the league in receiving with over 70 catches apiece. And they were the first running backs to do that. And that was the innovation of, we're going to make these running backs a big, big part of the passing game, mm-hmm. even if they're going to be flat passes and screen passes and dump downs. We're going to make them a big part of our passing game. Lydell Mitchell and Chuck Foreman. And I see that's what Kamara is. That's what McCaffrey is.
Yeah.
That's what Barkley is.
Yeah.
They're just a new generation of Lydell Mitchell and Chuck Foreman.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, good call. He's a great receiver. He really is.
What are you hearing? We know Evan Engram's not playing tonight, but would you say we're going to see him next weekend?
Well, Engram looked like he was going to go, to be honest with you. He had abandoned the brace this week and was only using a tight-wrapped sleeve on his knee. So there was significant improvement in that sprained MCL. Remember, he got hit on the knee in the Houston game a couple of weeks ago, and they had told him 2 to 4 weeks. And he was hoping it would be more on the two-week side. So this week he went out to practice. In fact, it was 2 days ago he went out and did a full practice, but apparently it still wasn't quite there. The intent was, as of Tuesday, that he would get through that full practice, would feel pretty good about it, and would be able to play. It's all signs were pointing up. And much like Vernon the last 2 weeks, all of a sudden, the arrow went into the other direction, and now he is out for the game. And, of course, Red Ellison is also questionable.
Right.
He's got himself, I believe, a quad. So now you're looking at Simonson or Dickerson as the only two other tight ends on the roster. I would think you're going to see some of Rashad Penny, Elias Penny, the fullback they picked up a few weeks ago, playing some H-back. And I also think we've seen the Giants do this the last couple of weeks now, use a jumbo package. Obvious running situations, bring in an extra offensive lineman and see what you can do with that, and obviously try to pound the ball when you go strong side.
Is Beckham returning punts again tonight?
You know what, Joe? I really don't know the answer to that. That was a bit of a surprise when all of a sudden he was out there during the game in Carolina and obviously had the one misplay, which, as we said earlier, wound up costing the Giants a touchdown. It was a huge play. I don't think there's any question that, you know, he's got the dynamics to make big plays back there. I, you know what, Joe? I really don't know the answer to that. I know this. You have to, against the Philadelphia Eagles, you have to be very cautious on special teams, because over the last decade, they probably have been the most dominant special teams club in the National Football League.
Well, they've certainly hurt the Giants over the years with the kick and punt returns in big spots.
Well, there's no question about that, but I'm simply talking not only about their return game, but also their ability to get down there in coverage and tilt the field. I mean, they are dynamite. They actually spend, you guys would be interested in this. Pat Shurmur told us this because he had been an assistant with Philadelphia a few years back. He told us during camp, do you know the Eagles actually spent 4 roster spots specifically on special teams? And I'm not talking about punters, kickers, and long snappers. I'm talking about guys who play on the special teams units.
Exclusively.
Return guys, cover guys. The last 4 spots on their roster, they want those guys to be primarily special teams demons. And if they can do anything else on the field, that's fine. But they want to keep 4 guys to be mega special team stars. And that's probably why over the last decade they've dominated the NFL.
Hey, it's important.
It
so
is.
What do you think? Because, I mean, the feel around this town is going to be very different tomorrow if the Giants can win this game. This is going to be a newfound hope. What do you think happens tonight?
I'm going to tell you flat out, Evan, I have no idea. The Giants need to prove to me 2 weeks in a row that they can play a winning brand of football. And they did not do that in terms of, again, a lot of unforeseen circumstances, but they lost to the Saints and they lost to the Panthers. 2 games they obviously could have and should have won. So how am I supposed to believe that they won't play well tonight and still lose the game? I mean, you know, I can't even fathom giving you a score. What I will tell you is this. The Eagles are not a very good team. No one in the division is very good, but that's no secret. You guys know that already.
Right.
Any one of these teams can win a game against the other on any given day. So the Giants certainly have a 50-50 chance, if not better.
Paul, we appreciate it.
See you, Paul.
All right, guys.
Be well.
Paul Dottino on the Giants. And he usually gives a prediction for a game.
Well, he's upset. He's a Giant fan. He should be. Of course, he's a Giant historian.
He's a historian.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry.
And he proves that when he joins us weekly.
Yes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.